We go on. The AIDS epidemic. With all the published writings and statistics on acquired immune deficiency, seldom a word is given, understandably, to associate this dreadful scourge with the widespread practice of contraception. During my 4 years in Washington, D.C., at Georgetown University, I was teaching Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity. And the most unusual day of recollection I've ever given in my life to the sisters who are going to open a residence for the victims of AIDS. Then, and not only while I lived in Washington, but every time I visit Washington on business, I make it a point to talk to, meet with, these poor AIDS victims. AIDS is directly a consequence of contraception. In spite of all the protests to the contrary, the AIDS epidemic has its roots in homosexuality. By now, of course, there are victims of AIDS whose condition is the result of other factors than sodomy. But the radical cause remains. Although we should, in sheer justice, associate the physical disease with its moral foundations, which are homosexuality, as we've said, occasioned, abetted, and I dare say caused by contraception. The breakdown of the family. The breakdown of stable family life in formerly Christian countries of the Western world is a matter of tragic record. When Christ brought his faith into the world, already in the first century, Christianity created, I use the word deliberately, created a stable family in the world. And as a nation departs from Christian principles, the inevitable follows. The family is divided, broken, shattered. No one is even dimly aware of what is going on in countries like our own, has any doubt that the family has known, I repeat, since the dawn of Christianity, is being not merely legalized, but legislated out of existence. I use the word legislated to bring out what Pope Paul VI stated so clearly in Humanae Vitae. In context, he is urging reasons for avoiding contraception. Then he says, I quote, Consider the dangerous weapon that contraception would place in the hands of those public authorities who pay no attention to moral obligations. Who could blame a government for applying to the solution of the problems of a society those means acknowledged licit for married couples and the solution of a family problem? Unquote, Paul VI. So it has been. Once contraception became widespread, it was only logical for civil governments not merely to tolerate, but to impose a contraceptive way of life on all their citizens. The United States has become an enslaved nation. Everything controlled by the government reflects a deep contraceptive mentality. I'm speaking of our own country. The majority of employed people working outside the home are women. The salaries earned by husbands and fathers make it next to impossible for them to provide for the size and kind of family they would honestly desire. The feminist ideology deprives men of the dignity and respect they deserve and need in the modern world. The number of children of single parents, shall we call them families, has reached gigantic proportions. Countless children are no longer reared by their parents, but by paid personnel in so-called daycare centers. Working mothers and underpaid fathers have become the pattern of our nation. The very idea of a stable and loving family has become, for millions, a starry, romantic, meaningless ideal. All of this and more can be traced as surely as smoke proves a fire to the contraceptive mania that is destroying the foundations of the human family. Abortion. I have saved abortion as the last of the deadly consequences of contraception. This, too, is a law of human behavior. Abortion follows contraception like the law of gravity. It is obvious as people come to equate sexual pleasure with sex gratification, as they come to identify that God-given pleasures of marital love with self-gratification, there is then no limit to what I call their lustful pride. Contraception has taught people to have their own way. They will stop at nothing to have their way, not even the murder of their unborn offspring. Respect for human life requires selfless love of human beings. As a nature is nurtured, on contraceptive self-indulgence. It becomes a nation that kills innocent children. If they are an obstacle to the self-gratification of those who brought them into existence. Our official statistics for the United States are now 1,600,000 abortions each year. That figure, my dear friends, is a deceptive understatement. All right. Let's say there are 1,600,000 surgical abortions annually in America. But, and I've studied the figures, I've cleared the statistics. The actual number of medical abortions in the United States is 9.3 million every year. And that is the lowest figure. So-called contraceptives. The word is not true. Contraceptives sold by the hundreds of millions in our country are not only contraceptives, they are also abortifacients. Guaranteed to either prevent conception or to ensure the murder of that unborn child if conception takes place. And this is where we who have the true faith must be clear. The moment the ovum is fertilized, at that moment, God, the Almighty Creator, creates an immortal soul and infuses, as we say, that soul into the body prepared by the mother and father. Contraception, not only psychologically or logically, leads to abortion. Most contraception in the United States is intended abortion. I'm not finished yet. I would like to briefly speak on the hope of eternal life. We asked, what is this hope? And how can it be realized? As faithful Christians, we believe, we must believe, that God has a reason. Dear Lord, we don't see the reason, but we believe you have a divinely providential reason for permitting the plague of contraception to infect so many millions in our day. St. Paul tells us, where sin has abounded, their grace will even more abound. Who would doubt that contraception has spawned an ocean of sin? Maybe change the object has spawned an ocean of crime. Unless repented, these crimes will lead, this is our faith, to eternal death. But we also believe that even the worst sinners can convert. Even the worst criminal can repent. We trust, therefore, what an important therefore. We trust, therefore, in God's mercy that these crimes will be repented. But now, my main message in speaking to you, these sinners, misled by the demonic forces in charge of our media, these people will repent. They'll obtain the grace to make their peace with God on one condition, that we, like our Christian forebears in the first century, live, there's no choice, live heroic Christian lives. Provided we practice, and no other word will do, provided we practice in our sex maniacal world, practice heroic chastity, provided we in the most homicidal century of human history practice heroic charity, then, but only then, can we plead at the throne of God and trust that our prayers will be heard. The God will, in His own way and time, draw greater good out of the great evil of contraception. As we begin, I would like to close with a prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, You are the incarnate mercy of God. By the merits of Your passion and death, we beg You to change the hearts of so many people who practice contraception in our times. We ask You to show them, dear Lord, show them the errors of their way. Above all, we implore You, by the merits of Your Mother Mary, to melt their selfish wills by the outpouring of Your grace. We are confident, dear Lord, that instead of eternal death, they will reach eternal life, provided we ourselves live lives of heroic chastity and charity, and lives of prayerful sacrifice for their conversion and salvation. Amen. Thank you for listening. May God bless you.